Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It might be hard to do, but try and visualize a pub with music and pints and tons of cigarette smoke. It's actually quite difficult, isn't it? But before the historic workplace ban on smoking came into being in 2004, that's exactly what going to the pub was like. Yes, you could hardly see people across the bar with the smoke. Ireland was the first country in the world to bring in such a sweeping ban. And Cormac Battle is in with you now to relive the whole damn experience. Cormac Battle, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going there?
When you say the year, it's quite frightening because it's not that long ago.
No, it's in the noughties, 2004. But and it was, we were the first country in the entire world to bring this in. So we were the guinea pigs. But before we get into the outright ban, which came in 2004, this is kind of, it's funny, really. 6 years beforehand, those restrictions brought in 1988, because it wasn't our first attempt to curtail people smoking in Ireland. In 1988, it was banned in some public buildings and hospitals and public pharmacies and so on, and buses and trains. This is the late Shea Healy. Now, this is him talking to a bunch of people on a bus the day the ban came in on a bus in Dublin. This is interesting. Have a listen to this.
I'm not.
You're not coping?
No, I'm not coping at all. But one has to try and abide by these rules and things.
I do 40 a day.
And is it hard for you now to sit in the bus and not have a cigarette?
Very hard. Very hard. I only had one cigarette this morning.
I think it's a great idea because I'm a non-smoker myself, and sometimes if the bus is full, you have to sit upstairs, like there's no room downstairs. You get choked upstairs. It's terrible.
I feel sorry for the people that on the buses, the driver of the one-man buses. How is it going to be enforced?
It's
so lovely, isn't it?
I only had one fag. I only had one cigarette this morning. I smoke 40 a day.
Yeah.
I can't do a bus journey. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So that was 1988, did you say?
1988, yeah. That was 6 years before.
Okay. So they're trying to enforce it, and they keep trying. So Ireland made history in March 2004. So tell us what happened then.
So in 2004, on March the 29th, Ireland became the first country in the entire world to ban smoking in workplaces, which effectively meant that in pubs, restaurants and bars, because people worked in them, then you could not smoke in them. There was lots of legal action threatened around it. And this is actually spearheaded by the then Health and Children Minister Micheál Martin, who is obviously Taoiseach right now. And so before it was brought in, a little bit beforehand, there was a lot of debate around, and publicans were saying, this is it, we are going to be shut down. And here's a listen to a couple of anxious pub owners before the ban came in.
Okay, have a listen to this.
The very basis of our culture on this island is pub talk, pub meeting, having a smoke, having a drink with your pals and friends. This is part of our Irish culture, whether you like it or not, or whether the government like it or not.
I said it's up to 70% of my customers smoke. I can see my business has been decimated, and I'm not going to stand by and see that happen. Unfortunately, I'm going to stand up and be counted. And if need be, the ban goes. If the ban comes in, I'm not going to operate it. No way.
So pubs being decimated, he said.
And he said he wasn't going to operate it when it came in, when the ban came in. And it did. So on March the 29th, the ban went ahead, and overnight, ashtrays vanished from over 10,000 pubs and clubs and restaurants around Ireland. And at the time, those caught smoking faced a fine of €3,000 from that moment.
But did it
from
take
that moment
a while,
onwards,
Cormac? I mean, did pub owners enforce this legislation? Did they enforce the new rules on the 29th of March? Okay, they took up the ashtrays, but were they, you know, fining people?
Well, they had to. Well, look, they on the day this had to be done. Interestingly, not all publicans' fears came to pass, because nobody knew what was going to happen. This was a social experiment that hadn't happened anywhere else in the world, and the government had no idea how the public were going to react to this. So have a listen to this. This is punters in a pub on the day the ban came in and what their reaction to it was.
Okay.
It's not too bad. It actually feels good. Yeah, I like it a lot.
I've actually given up smoking. I'm an ex-smoker. I've smoked for a few years, and now it'll give me an opportunity not to be tempted when I go out.
Even this 60-a-day man felt the ban was a good thing.
It's a little bit difficult, but I'm down to about 14 or maybe 16 cigarettes a day already, and I got up at 6 o'clock.
So it's making you cut back despite yourself?
It's making me cut back because of my lifestyle. If I can't smoke socially, I can't smoke socially.
Would it put you off coming to the pub?
Absolutely not.
And that's the crucial issue. Would it put him coming to the pub? And he said no, it wouldn't put him off. And it's curious as well. I have a clip here of some of the barmen around some pubs in Dublin on the day as well, and how they felt about it, because like they were the workers who were being protected by the ban.
In a normal day trade-wise, people seem to know what the score is, so there hasn't been much of a problem, you know. Nobody's tried to light up. People are asking questions about it, but that's about it, you know.
I think they're all quite happy. They've had good media exposure, so I think they'll go along with it.
But of course, like everything, not everybody was happy on the day. And I shouldn't be laughing at this, but these guys were not happy campers at all. You could find them. Have a listen to these guys.
I'm very upset about the whole thing. I'm upset with the intrusive nature of the government in every area of life.
Dictatorship now. That's what we're living in. And so I'll never vote for Fianna Fáil again.
Yeah, I know. A dictatorship we're living in. But look, there you go. That was some of the views of those people. And naturally, so the ban is in it's only in the Republic of Ireland. And you can imagine around the border counties, people were very, very nervous. People owned hotels, people owned pubs and so on. That punters would just fly over the border to smoke in the pubs over there and smoke in the restaurants.
Were people actually doing that?
I think for a time it was happening, but it was very short-lived.
Okay.
So people used to come on holidays from Britain, mainland Britain, to say Donegal, Sligo and all those counties that were near the north. And take a listen to these guys throwing in their tuppence worth on the whole thing. This is actually from a comedy show.
I'd come back to Ireland, but we'd stay over the border. Well, we've got freedom of choice to have a cigarette.
And the holiday is going to be spoiled, isn't it? And you have to go and hide and have a fag. It's crazy.
Oh, brilliant. I love that. The holiday is ruined because I can't have a fag.
Exactly, yeah. That was just the
but
best.
But there
ever.
Was money to be made because of the ban, wasn't there?
There was, like, you know, silver linings and all that kind of stuff to some people, although this was a fantastic thing to happen for the country. But there was an explosion in beer gardens, obviously, because we never drank outside, you know. There was all the heated patios, pagodas, carports and barons became very, very creative in their smoking areas. And even at one stage, I remember these little things that people would put on their pints, little lids to protect drinkers' pints from the elements when they'd be outside. So there was a lot of money made because pubs had to kind of redo and rethink the way they were going to accommodate their smokers. So all these lean-tos and things that were smirting, you might remember.
No.
Was a term. It's a compound word that came out at the time. It actually originated in New York, where there was a ban in bars on smoking there as well, but not on other things. Smirting is where you flirt with somebody while smoking. So you go out, you're in a pub, you go out for a cigarette, you meet someone, you look at them and you go, how's it going? Mm. You out for a little, you're having a cigarette. Lovely night, isn't it? So people started to meet each other outside the pubs, and so that's where friendships and also romantic
relationships
started to emerge. So you'd meet someone outside, have a quick smoke, go in, maybe have a drink with them, meet them out again for another smoke. And from that, there's many people who met who would have gone on to get married.
It's
and
smoking
so on.
And flirting, smirting.
Smirting, yeah, it is smoking and flirting put together. Like, okay. Did you do a bit of smoking in your day,
Jen?
I
did a bit of smirting and I didn't even smoke. I used to love going out. I always found that the garden or the smoking garden is like the kitchen and a house party.
Yeah, you know, it's where the action's at.
It's where the action is at, really. So that's where you want to be. And then I started passive smoking. And then I started scabbing smokes off people just so I could stay out there and not look like an idiot just sitting in the smoking garden.
Did you ever start buying them? Like say you're leaving the house and you pass by the shop and buy a packet of cigarettes on the way to the pub.
Half the fun with the smirting is getting the fag off the
off somebody
the
else.
Hot fella.
Yeah. Because that was your win.
But I wish the smoking ban, I wish this came into effect in 1992. Because in 1992, as I've always said, we're one of the only Irish families that went abroad on holiday because my sister worked for an airline. We flew to Nairobi in the smoking section of a BA airplane because my dad smoked a pipe. Now, after that, I developed emphysema and an awful sickness when I used to fly. Oh, I'm sneezing just thinking about it.
Yeah, that's real. What are you doing?
God, I don't know. I just the memory of it.
That made you sneeze.
I just had a little sneeze attack there.
Oh my
God. The smoke, it was disgusting.
Yeah.
And the only thing that separated the smoking section from the non-smoking section was the curtain. Yeah, curtain.
Yeah, I do. And you could see yellow going up the sides of the plane on the plastic that by the windows. I remember being on a flight to America once in the early 90s, I suppose it was. I can't remember when it was banned on planes, but you could only smoke at the back of the plane. So it was mad. Like, there was loads of people, like 10, 15 people standing at the back of the plane, everyone smoking cigarettes. And there was even a soap star there having a cigarette with all us common people. It was just standing at the back of a plane having cigarettes. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah. It's funny because I, on Friday, I treated myself. You know the way some people treat themselves to a massage or a pampering session? I treated myself to a cleaner on Friday, right? And she came around to the house and I told her I was popping out for a while, and when I came back there was a smell of smoke in the house. She was like, I'm just having a little break, I'm out the back having a smell, and it lingered in the house, right? And then a friend of mine walked into that. She was like, oh my God, have you started, why is there a smell of smoke in the house? It just lingers. And it was just, it's quite alien to us now, but just how far we've come, Cormac. It's amazing. Because listen to those vox pops. And, I mean, was there any doubt that it wouldn't work or would work? I mean, what was the feeling when it first came in 2004?
Well, like, you know, there was total doubts that it wasn't going to work.
And bring down, the smoking problem.
That everyone would just ignore it en masse. No one was going to pay any attention. It was obvious from the start. Cigarettes fell by 60% in bars that year. 7,000 people plus gave up smoking in the first 12 months after the ban came into effect. But, there was some mini rebellions. I remember, you might recall, in July of that year, there was a defiant pub in Galway on Eyre Square that decided they were not going to do it anymore, and they just let people light up, and they were duly fined $6,500 plus $3,000 in costs. So, but that was a very short-lived mini rebellion. And would you believe some people started smoking as a result of the ban coming in? There are very few, they're the thin end of the wedge, but because, as we were talking about earlier on, people would, their friends would go out and have a cigarette outside, and the non-smoker would be left inside the pub on their own, and they go, sure, I'm going to go outside as well. And sure, look, give us a puff on that, will you? And so it's only a small amount, but it is, there are a number of people who actually started smoking as a result of the smoking ban.
I do not miss coming home from a nightclub or a pub and my clothes absolutely reeking. And I think my hangover was probably worse because I was passive smoking for hours.
Oh my God.
Stink. Like, I had to give up. Oh my God, I don't miss that.
I had to, like, literally give up drinking to give up smoking. I could not go out for a few drinks and not have cigarettes. I've never had a cigarette without a drink, ever. But as soon as I'd have two drinks, all my logic would be gone and be like, ah, come on, let's, the little demon in my, I could not have a cigarette without a drink. So that's one of the other reasons I stopped drinking a few years ago, to stop me smoking as well, because it was a double barrel thing.
Well, I love that you've reminded us that the smoking ban has given us beer gardens.
It has given us beer gardens.
Global warming, the weather's getting better, so why not? So it's given us beer gardens, and it has, but it,
there
I
was
mean,
there were problems though.
Oh God.
There were problems. Oh, look, it's God. Not a big problem, but it did reveal an issue that was there, and that was the smell in pubs.
Yeah.
Do you remember the st- stink in pubs after the smoking ban came in. The smell of farty beery, beer and farts, the stink of body odour, the smell of stale beer and the smell of years and years and years of smoke, even to a smoker, is disgusting. So it took years for pubs to kind of neutralise that smell. And some pubs you still go into now and you can still smell the remnants of the smoking that, you know, it's nearly 20 years ago since it was banned.
But ultimately, Cormac, it was about saving lives. Have you any info on that or stats?
Well, look, 10 years after, they did a big piece of research 10 years after the ban came in, and they found that, according to the HSE, 3,726 people, there were fewer, that's fewer deaths than would have been expected if the smoking ban had not brought in. So in essence, they say that it saved 4,000 people's lives in the first 10 years of the ban, and that the rate of smoking went down by 7% as well. So look, it was to say it was a success was a complete and utter understatement. It was a revolution in this country, and we were the first to do it. Like, at the time as well, the world's press were here on the day. They're hounding Micheál Martin up and down Grafton Street. Japanese, American TV crews, embassies were watching from all around the world. And very soon afterwards, countries like Norway and New Zealand and Brazil and dozens of countries now have followed suit, following Ireland in their smoking ban in pubs and restaurants.
Okay, is that the end of the story, or are there other areas that are being looked at to ban smoking?
There's a grey area now with e-cigarettes and vaping and all that kind of stuff, but the more interesting thing is, I wasn't aware of this until I was looking at this, is that the government plans to see Ireland become virtually tobacco free by 2025. That's 3 years' time. They hope to have a prevalence rate, i.e. only 5% of the population is smoking by 2025. Like in New Zealand, I think they've brought in this thing where you have to be a certain age to buy cigarettes, and that age is getting older and older and older. So by the time somebody who's born now is 18, cigarettes will not be available anywhere to buy in the country. They won't exist in the country. So that's a very ambitious thing. The government wants virtually to have cigarettes gone by 2025. It's very ambitious. But if we can bring in a smoking ban in the Ireland that we live in, where I thought as well it would take the atmosphere out of pubs. I thought, this is not going to work. I was a total disbeliever. It's not going to work. Pubs are going to be no fun anymore. It was totally wrong. We were all wrong on that. Could we be smoke-free, say, by the end of this decade? Maybe we can, and that'd be a fantastic thing.
Well, thanks a mil for that, Cormac. It just goes to show how quickly we can get used to change in society.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.